This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. Today is our one-day pledge event here on WUTC. It's a chance to show your support in real time for your NPR station here in Chattanooga and the Tennessee Valley. And it's a chance to help us feed people in need. That need is greater than ever now because of the pandemic, and its painful economic blows for so many people. 10% of what we raise today here on WUTC will support the Chattanooga Area Food Bank. Throughout the day, we have shared conversations with staffers at the food bank, describing their vital work throughout 20 counties in southeast Tennessee and northwest Georgia. Mark Hilling is the food bank's interim president and CEO. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
The economic impact of the pandemic will last longer than the virus. And that is part of what your work at the food bank is all about.
It is. We know that while there certainly was a spike in need at the onset of the pandemic, and we needed to respond to that, and we continue to respond to those needs, that even as we find a vaccine, as we find therapies, people will still be hungry. And we need to be there for a long time through 2021, we're sure, meeting a greater level of need than we were seeing in recent years.
You are preparing to provide long-term assistance to anyone facing hunger. What kind of assistance are we talking about?
We're talking about providing meals, providing food boxes that can provide meals to people. We're talking about meeting people where they are with mobile pantries, home delivery. The home delivery is an innovative new approach for us, something we've started in the pandemic and are glad to be able to reach people that we were not reaching prior to that. We are providing school meals or additions to school meals as we couple with the school districts throughout our counties and just really focus on making sure that people aren't missing meals that they previously counted on and where we can supplementing the food that they receive as part of those.
You need support for that. And you also need support for those instances where all of a sudden you have to ramp up.
We do. We need funds to do that. We need people that will come in and help us pack boxes, people that can sometimes make deliveries for us, and people that will donate and help us have the funds we need in order to access food, which can be difficult in this period, as well as make donations of food to us directly.
You've adjusted your operations under COVID-19. How are you keeping safety top of mind?
It immediately came to mind here. We quickly worked to understand the guidance from CDC and implement that in the ways most appropriate to allowing us to continue to support people. Internally, we went to no-touch activity sets. We serve a number of people and a number of agency partners at the food bank, and we found ways that we could minimize, if not eliminate, interaction between our team and their teams in order to keep both sides safe. We went to drive-through for a number of our mobile pantries. We quickly learned from our own experience and shared that with our agencies so that they could keep their teams safe and operational. So we really looked to wearing masks, keeping social distance, and then making sure that people had ways to wash hands and avoid touching their face and eyes. And it was that simple from the beginning.
Let's talk more about how you have adjusted your programming to ensure you are there for anyone who needs food. I'm thinking of the emergency food boxes in Hamilton County.
Yes, we realized that there was going to be a much greater need coming directly to the food bank. We changed our procedures so that we could still serve as many people as needed it, ramped up our capacity to nearly triple what we were doing previously. We implemented the no-touch solutions so that we weren't putting ourselves or them at risk, and we reached out across some of the donors and providers to get particular foods and more foods available to those folks that were coming to our EFB environment.
You've also been working with La Paz Chattanooga and the Hamilton County Health Department.
We have. We went out to their locations as they were doing testing, first with La Paz and more recently with the Hamilton County Health Department. And as people came to get tests, they were asked if they needed food assistance. And for any that said yes, we were happy to be there providing food boxes in that simple no-touch drive-through method. We were able to provide them with food that we hope get them past a quarantine period or help them get past a quarantine period.
And we're speaking as you were about to have new leadership come on board at the food bank during this Hunger Action Month.
We are. We're excited to welcome Melissa Blevins back to the food bank. Melissa was previously the director of operations here and is coming back to lead through, again, a very challenging time for the food bank. And we're glad to do that. And Hunger Action Month is well underway. Hunger Action Day was just the other day. And it's an opportunity for us to talk about our need in servicing and supporting the community around us. And venues like this one to speak directly to the neighbors in our community are incredibly helpful to give them insight to what we do and how we do it.
All right. Mark, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
One can make a difference. And right now, you can be that one in more ways than one. Please support WUTC and help the Chattanooga Area Food Bank as we mark Hunger Action Month here and across the country. Give online now at WUTC.org and click the donate button. Whatever you can give at this time will be most appreciated. Please make a difference for WUTC and help us feed people in need right now. As always, thank you. On Tuesdays, for more than a year now, Will Davis has brought Tennessee Valley StoryCorps here to WUTC, including Scenic Roots, where he was also one of our program's founding producers. Lately, you may have heard Will originate his weekly StoryCorps pieces from what we call the Pod Lab on our campus, the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Will stopped by to fill us in. Will, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's great to see you again.
Yes, in person, albeit socially distanced.
Yeah.
We should talk about the Pod Lab. Tell us more about the Pod Lab. We hear it now at the end of every edition of Tennessee Valley StoryCorps here on WUTC.
Right. Well, I teach podcasting here at UTC. You know that. I've been doing that for about 2 years. And about a year ago, my students started to tell me that what they wanted was a podcasting studio, a designated podcasting space. So I decided to really kind of make that a real goal, to put together a podcasting studio on campus. So we did it. We did it. And the listeners can't see, but I'm patting myself on the back because that was a year ago, and we opened it at the beginning of the semester. And a year in higher ed is a blink of an eye. Things take a really long time in higher ed. So we really made it happen. And of course, this was during a pandemic. But what it says too is we have some very forward-thinking leaders here at the university that agreed that this was something that should happen. And so we made it happen. And this is the mass medium of that generation. So it makes sense.
Tell us more about the work that you are now starting to do at the Pod Lab.
So we're working on a few projects. And we also work on Tennessee Valley StoryCorps. I have a group of about 6 to 8 students that listen to that tape. And what the listeners may not know is that those Tennessee Valley StoryCorps conversations are 40 minutes. And I cut them down to about 3.5 minutes to air on the radio. So myself and a group of students will listen to the tape, we call it tape, the whole 40-minute interview, and discuss what is the story. You know, what is the best audio? That's a very helpful storytelling exercise to listen to something like that with 6 people and have 6 different takes on what the best audio is or what the story is. And we discuss this and we write it out on a big board and then we cut the tape, including today's story. We worked on it together and some thought it was a love story and some thought it was a story of community. Others thought it was a story about entrepreneurship, and others thought it was all of that. That's the kind of stuff we do in the Pod Lab. It really is, I don't use the term storytelling so much as story making, because we're making stories. We also have limited series podcasts coming up, like a true crime podcast, which is really cool. A series about athletics here, athletics during COVID-19, a history podcast in a political science podcast, some of the things that are happening this fall. I'm very excited. I'm having the time of my life, and the students are really enjoying it because it's more important than ever, I think, to tell our stories and to listen to each other. And so now we have really cool state-of-the-art facilities where students can do it.
And this story-making model, as you put it, it is accessible to students beyond those in communication because everybody has stories to tell and everybody has stories to make.
Engineering students, for example, are great storytellers, you know, because they're used to building things. I have a number of students that are mathematicians and they're great storytellers because they realize that a story is an equation, that this plus this plus this equals this. Business students, business stories are so important. So it's not just communication students or the students that you might first think are interested in this kind of work. We're seeing students from all over campus making podcasts and doing some really great stuff.
And beyond what comes from the Pod Lab that people will hear on WUTC, where else can people follow everything that the Pod Lab is doing?
So I'm going to put together some sort of site, some sort of directory that does catalog and distribute what we're doing there. I haven't quite figured that out yet, but I'm going to. Another thing that we want to do, and this was always part of the mission, is to start to work with the community on podcasting, offer classes and workshops and things like that. So that's very much a part of what we're going to do in the Pod Lab. It's just it's going to take a little while. And when it makes sense to do that, to start to get together in a very inclusive way and work together, we'll start doing that.
And if you've been listening all day here on WUTC, or if you are just tuning in, we should remind folks what we're doing today.
Today is a very special day. This is our one-day pledge drive. So I want to talk directly to the listeners for just a minute if I can, and encourage you, if you're a listener to the station, and obviously you are, do consider going online and giving whatever you can, whatever amount makes sense to you. If you're a fan of Tennessee Valley StoryCorps, today is Tuesday. We have a new great episode coming up. Consider going online and making a pledge and allowing us to continue to do the kind of work that we love to do. Public radio is really a community service. And I believe very firmly that that's the kind of work that we do best and we want to continue to do. So thank you for continuing to allow us to do that.
And you can go online and give right now at WUTC.org. Just click on the donate button. Thank you, Will.
Thank you. So great to see you again.
You're listening to Scenic Roots. More in a moment.
I'm Will Davis, and this is Tennessee Valley StoryCorps. Stories from people who went to the StoryCorps mobile recording booth when it came to Chattanooga last year. Today, Brittany Alcala and her husband, Daniel.
This is about our story and how we met and how we have gotten to this point in our life of happiness. So do you remember when I was living in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I was headed to Miami to meet up with some friends, and the cheapest flight was out of Chattanooga. And it was the first flight out that morning, right? It was an early flight, right?
An early flight.
And I had on that orange dress with the black sweater. You remember?
Yes.
Okay. That orange dress had a whole lot to do with it. And after we got to know each other, he explained it as a TikTok movement at the back of my
dress.
And that's what took him to baggage claim without needing to claim a bag. But really, he was going to claim his wife. Yeah. He nor I knew that. So our story began there. And we dated for over a year.
We moved over here. How long has it been now?
2011. Yeah. And let me just say, I was ready for the ocean, and you were ready for the mountains. And the mountains won.
We came up here and kind of to, when you live down in South Florida, even though it's part of the United States, it's almost like another country because it's like a melting pot of, you know, a lot of Latinos, different countries and stuff like that. Moving out of South Florida, it feels like you're really in the United States now, you know? So coming here to to Chattanooga, I didn't expect to have, you know, such a big Latino community. And I started figuring out that everybody did what we did, just kind of running from that big city and coming to a place that's, you know, better to grow, for the kids to grow up in.
We decided to open our first restaurant. Our restaurant is Embargo 62. And we wanted to bring our mother's recipes and share it here with the wonderful folks in this city. So Embargo 62 opened in August of 2015.
Yeah.
And we rocked it out. We brought the best of the best from South Florida.
Do you remember how many South Floridians came when we first opened up?
Oh my gosh.
They all just met each other, but they've been living here for years and didn't know there was so many Cubans and and South Floridians. Well, I was so surprised that there was so many South Floridians, Cubans, Hispanics, and all that were missing that Cuban influence, that Cuban flavor and stuff like that. And when they came to the restaurant, we were just surprised. It was crazy.
It's been awesome how they have supported us.
Mm-hmm.
And we've supported them. We want to be that place that transports folks back to a memory or...
Yeah, it feels like every time they come, they're like, I'm back in Miami. And then the people that haven't been to Miami is like, oh my God, it feels like I'm on vacation here in Chattanooga. All we're missing is the little sand and the beach across the street. It's not there.
Boy, if I could bring it in, I would.
That was Daniel Alcala and his wife, Brittany. This conversation and others like it are available online at wutc.org. And you can subscribe to the Tennessee Valley StoryCorps podcast wherever you get your podcasts. This series is produced and edited by me, Will Davis, and created at the Pod Lab at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga.
This is Scenic Roots. The music this afternoon comes from the lounge in Barking Legs. The Wednesday evening jazz sessions in the lounge are back, albeit virtually online. Last Wednesday, Nathan Warner and Sean Perkinson played a set. This week, bassist David Schwab will play a solo show starting at 7 on the Barking Legs Facebook page. This is guitarist Sean Perkinson and trumpeter Nathan Warner with their quartet live in the lounge in Barking Legs in December 2018.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nathan Warner and Sean Perkinson, along with their quartet, live in the lounge in Barking Legs in December 2018. Jazz in the Lounge, albeit virtual, is back tomorrow evening at 7 on the Barking Legs Facebook page. David Schwab will play a solo show. This is Scenic Roots.
One can make a difference. And right now, you can be that one in more ways than one. Please support WUTC and help the Chattanooga Area Food Bank as we mark Hunger Action Month here and across the country. Give online now at WUTC.org and click the donate button. Whatever you can give at this time will be most appreciated. Please make a difference for WUTC and help us feed people in need right now. As always, thank you. You're listening to Scenic Roots on WUTC. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.